Hello, we're the Sticky Bun Boys. I'm Michael.
And I'm not. Welcome back to the podcast. I hope you've all recovered suitably from last week.
I'm still thinking about Papa's milk, personally.
Please do not remind me.
Anyway, this week is Bread Week, and it's one of our favourites for the tent.
It is indeed. Let's get down to business.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's our favorite time of the year, which tends to happen quite regularly these days because time's a construct. It is Bread Week.
We love Bread Week.
We love Bread Week. I was actually thinking today how much I love bread.
Oh, yeah. I actually made a sourdough loaf this morning.
Did you? Mm. I did a tangzhong loaf this week for the first time ever. Tangzhong is like a, where's it from? China?
It's from China, yeah.
Basically, you whisk together your flour and some water over a heat until it makes like a roux.
Yep.
And then you let that cool down. And does that do something to the starches?
Yeah, it like gelatinizes the starches. And there's a Japanese one called yundan where you just pour boiling water onto the flour. You don't do the roux bit, so it's not as severe.
Oh, it's great though. It makes it a really soft loaf.
It basically means that each flour kind of grain can hold more water, that makes it softer.
It was gorgeous. It was like a milk bread cinnamon roll. And then I made the milk bread, but with condensed milk rather than normal milk, so like a bit sweeter. Ooh. Oh, it was very good.
And actually, everyone always thinks of it as being this Chinese tangzhong, but loads of European countries had versions of this.
Really?
No, everyone forgets these things.
I've actually got some of the cinnamon rolls in the office, but it's the kitchen. It's just the kitchen. But I've got some. You can have one later.
I'll have one to take on my way home.
Anyway, this week, they don't make those. They have a signature bake when they have 3.25 hours to make a flavoured free-form loaf. What are your thoughts on that as a challenge?
It is quite simple, but again, I quite like it because they can do all kinds of loaves and all kinds of things can be in it. You use different flours. So yeah, I do quite like it.
And it's a simple signature. Like it's a signature that you'll make this bread at home.
Yes. The only thing I'd say is it'd probably be a little bit boring because they're all going to be quite similar.
But they aren't. Like it's really like rogue. Like they do quite a lot of different things that you've got various different bits. Like, I mean, what was your favourite?
I'll say David checks down the list. Actually, there are quite different ones, aren't they?
They're really wild. One of them does the tear and share.
Yeah, someone does tear and share. Someone does stromboli, which is basically like a filled bread. That was
really
Joe.
Hard. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jason does the tear and share, which again, I loved it because I love it when Paul thinks something's going to work and then it works brilliantly.
Yeah.
Like, then
we
had
perfect. Holly, who did a picnic loaf with like sweet in one side and savory in the other.
Yeah.
That gives me a severe ick.
No, not at all. I don't like it. And it worked. They said it worked, but they're only doing little taste of it. They're only cutting off a little bit. Mm. I don't like that.
Well, you mentioned Joe making a stromboli loaf, which had mozzarella, ham and pepper in it. And she said when she was making it, you have to just pull it out really carefully because you don't want to lose the air.
Yeah.
And you do have to be careful because otherwise air can get in all places that shouldn't be, really.
And it can just be painful if you take it out too quick. It
depends how much preparation you've done. But since our little story time last week, I've written down that looks a bit like a Swiss roll inside, but I don't want to think about a Swiss roll ever again, actually.
I think we should leave the story, we should leave it in the past.
The story.
It cannot seep into...
I feel like the story is right up there with... Don't use the word seep. I think it's right up there with the countdown.
Oh.
From like episode like 4.
It took so much energy out of me, that story.
The 3-2-1?
No, Paul Hollywood and Jürgen.
And the savoury slab. Talking of a savoury slab, Ben made a walnut, raisin and rosemary loaf. I'm not sure how I feel about raisins with rosemary.
No, because a walnut raisin bread with honey sounds sweet and then the rosemary makes it sound savoury. Mm. I don't think that would work.
Do you think a courgette... You like putting vegetables where they don't belong. Ian was making a courgette, carefully and thyme loaf.
No, courgette works really well for something like brownies if you're trying to make them more healthy. Not really for bread because it's really wet. It has a lot of moisture in courgette.
Yeah, why was he putting it in there?
I think he just wanted to do something different. But it was one of those strange things where, you know, when they've made something and then afterwards, Paul quite clearly showed him that it was really stodgy and not really well baked. Mm. And he was like, oh, I still love it. Like it worked exactly like he wanted it.
Yeah, he wanted it to be bad. Maybe
he likes wet bread.
He did cut himself, which I can relate to, but he was kind of quite adorably posh when he said about cutting himself. He said, I cut my finger when I was chopping my thyme very delicately, but I think I'm going to be okay.
And he really cut it, like it was obviously like streaming, because then Mel
had to hold it,
had his arm up, and she was being his elbow rest.
Mel and Sue are so sweet in this series, though.
They are the reason why I loved Bake Off.
They're so perfect. So who stood out for you?
I really did like the idea of Mary Ann's, although it did look a bit burnt when it came out, but she made a ploughman's loaf. So it was like a big slab, a big savoury slab.
Please.
And she'd kind of folded into the savoury slab. There was loads of cheese and Branson's pickle and things, and it had a really good crust. So I liked the idea of that one.
Mary called it informal, which isn't pleasant, but it tasted very nice, I think.
It did look informal.
I have to just mention a conversation that happened between Hot Rob and Paul.
Really? You're going to talk about Rob?
It's unusual for me, I know.
Teflon Rob.
Paul said, I'm really looking forward to a decent load. And then looking right down the eyes, Rob said, I'm looking forward to giving you one.
Really? How did I miss that?
I replayed it three times.
Well, now we know
just
about
the
Rob.
Second part.
I think you've had all your questions answered, Michael.
And my dreams. Oh, I had a lovely evening after that. Oi, oi, oi. He made a wry... That was quite laddy, wasn't it?
It was very laddy. Oi, oi.
Is that the noise they make?
I think you're a bro now.
Thank you. Thank you so much for noticing. He made a rye and coriander seed loaf, which is a bit boring.
It's very boring. And rye isn't very good. Rye works very well for sourdough, but rye doesn't work that well in normal bread.
No, I don't think he gave me one, particularly that one. The one that I wanted to eat the most, which I'm obsessed with and I need to make, and I was like elbow deep in my tangzong this morning before I realised I didn't want to make that anymore. I wanted to make Yasmin's Egyptian dukkah loaf.
Oh. Well, Michael, funny you should say that, because in my book, Good to Eat, there is a dukkah recipe which is pretty much the best. I love dukkah. I put it on everything.
I take it back. Boring. I actually much preferred the...
No, we'll go back to Yasmin, because Yasmin, she started off, she was wearing these ridiculous sleeves that were, you know, those ones that kind of like extend out, and they were just dripping in everything. She was just wafting them.
Like a magician.
Yes, exactly. She was just like falling, just kneading them into her bread and stuff. It was very weird.
So for those who don't know, dukkah is like a mixture of spices. It's like a much less white mixed spice. So you've got like cumin, coriander, sesame, thyme, salt, pepper.
Yeah, but it's not just spices, because like spices.
Almonds.
Yeah, because it's nuts. So it's got, obviously, it's often got nuts and sesame seeds and cashews. So it's used as something you can...
Bless you.
It's used as something you can sprinkle on top of something, not just a spice. Like it is.
Please give me more. That was funny.
No, but I was rolling. I was rolling in my ducker chat. I was giving a BB.
You were truly giving BB, and no one had asked for it. And you should always ask before BB.
Consent, people. Consent.
Consent is important. No, but like, so when you make your ducker loaf, how do you do it? Do you just fold them through?
Oh, I've not made a ducker loaf. I have made it in bread.
I thought it was in your book.
The ducker's in my book. Because you have to actually make the ducker. Oh, ducker is really original for every single person has their own ducker, basically.
Oh, I bought some from Waitrose.
Oh. Well, try it. And if it's not as good as you think.
So do you know what I like mine on? Like, so I get avocado and then I poach an egg on top and then I sprinkle ducker on top of that. And oh, it's like heavenly.
Do you know what? I genuinely, this is 100%... Look me in the eyes with Janet's eyes, starry eyes. I am going to bring you some ducker, because while we were watching this, Nick also said, David, can you make some more ducker? After the last time I made it, I ate it all. He didn't eat any of it. So I am going to make some and I will bring you some.
Last time I came and stayed at yours, though, you made this. So in the morning, we had like poached eggs on sourdough and you made like this. Was it labneh? No, it wasn't labneh. What was it? It was like a...
Oh, Turkish eggs.
Turkish eggs. And yes. it was like a feta with... What was that?
Yogurt
dill?
And dill and a bit of tahini.
Is that in your book?
No.
Oh, it should be. Honestly, it was one of the best things in the entire world. And I was like, David, how do you make that? I must make it when I go home. And he gave me the recipe and I made mine and it tasted like absolute shit. But this ducker loaf, like, she roasted the ducker to kind of release the flavour from it. It just made me, like, my mouth was salivating. And it's something I've just not heard of before.
I loved it. I actually did also like avashi. Okay, so there was this big drama in there how she made everything under-seasoned because she didn't put enough salt in her bread. And it is, salt in bread isn't just about making it taste salty. Actually, bread tastes, and it also just tastes horrible if there's not enough salt. But a peppercorn loaf, actually, I like the idea of that.
Green peppercorn.
Yeah, I would actually have done, like doing a mashed green peppercorn and then black pepper as well. I think that'd be a good loaf.
I love a good salty crust.
Oh, yes.
Not like that. Like a salt and peppery crust, I think would be delicious on a bread. Because we just love bread.
Yeah, we love bread.
Would you like some BB?
Go for it.
So Mel goes to a mill. And apparently mills used to be dangerous because people used to get mangled all the time, which is a real shame. But she also said, it's just a genuinely an interesting bit, it became like, it was like IB. Irritable bowels.
It's not BB, now we're on IB.
It was an interesting bit. Because if there's lots of particles of flour in the air, that can cause explosions. So like if there's a high enough concentration of flour in the air, because flour is a carbohydrate, it's carbon, hydrogen and oxygen. So if there's like a spark or like a incendiary device, it causes explosions. So apparently all the time in these mills, it has sometimes just exploded because of just heat, because the millstones were hot. And then she gets like this experiment where she gets this upside down Tupperware where like they put lots of flour in and then they like light a candle and it properly like does a massive explosion. And they do some of Stephanie's like crime scene investigations, like cutbacks in slow motion, watching the explosion happen. It was properly giving IB. I was genuinely interested.
I have to say, I actually did watch this one as well because it's bread week and I just thought everything's going to be good on
bread
week.
Wasn't that cool?
It was cool. I love that the professor who did it though, the cameraman must have been really annoyed because he like kept on moving around.
Yeah.
And they just kept on putting the camera back on Mel again even though he was talking. Yeah. But yeah, it was really interesting. It was like, and to see that whole mills actually exploded.
Wild. And another IB was just in the voiceover when they were like doing the baking, when Mel said, because I've always said, oh, you put steam in the oven to make it get a good crust, but I've never quite understood like the science of that. So apparently steam in the oven causes the sugars in the dough to dissolve on the outside. And then as the water evaporates, those sugars caramelize. And it's the caramelization that makes the crust go golden brown and chewy. So it's like you're making like a almost like a caramel on the outside, like a very thin one.
Yeah, it's really annoying because I've been meaning to do, I've literally on my list of Instagram videos to do where I do a sourdough loaf where you don't put like an ice cube in with your thing. Ah. You do one afterwards. Because the one before, it looks really golden and crusty still, but afterwards it's like a shiny golden.
Well, don't do a reel. Just like film that and go, look.
Look.
There Alan. You go. See, I don't put an ice cube in now. I now fill a baking tray with water at the bottom of the oven and keep that in there from the very moment I turn on the oven.
Oh, no, but I put an ice cube in because I do a baking dome thing.
Oh, you do a cloche.
So I just chuck it in my cloche.
It's not a cloche, is it? It's called a... What's it called? The baking...
It is a cloche, though.
A cast iron... Skillet.
A Dutch oven.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Right. So the technical was a focaccia coming at you in 3.5 hours. Thank you for laughing at that, producer Alex. I'm pleased with that. David gave me literally nothing.
I was just looking in absolute terror at the notes that I've written on the focaccia.
Well, you wrote how long it was.
I've written how long it is, and then I've gone the end. Straight to the
so
results.
Paul said that he was looking for irregular holes, which we've all seen. And he was also talking about a difference between English holes and Italian holes. And he says that often English holes are a lot tighter.
I found that. I mean, what does this say about Giuseppe?
Oh, you know what? I'll text him and find out. It was a bit boring, actually, this section.
Do you know, I didn't realise I actually wrote on this. There is one note I wrote because I found it a bit boring, but I didn't know if it was just because Nick was next to me and he was being too positive. And I was like, I need Michael next to me, being like, so we can both be catty together about the contestants. Nick was just saying everyone was really nice and everything was really tasty.
Do you know what? They were being quite adorable. Like you mentioned last week, the voiceover keeps being like, they'll be doing something and the voiceover's like, what they should be doing is this. And like, that kind of makes me warm to them. So it just looks like they're all a bit hapless, you know?
Not
like,
just Rob, all of them.
All of them are trying to, like, they keep being like, oh, this dough's too wet. And all of them just keep adding more flour to it, which is like the opposite. Because focaccia's more like a batter.
Yeah.
So yeah, a bit boring, a bit fast, but in the judging, there were some fun bits. Yasmin's got lovely dimples, hopefully up top. Ben's got a crispy top. Janet isn't wet enough, sadly. And Ian's got an awful little hole.
Poor old Ian. How did they out him like that on TV?
He's been outed. And Ian, with his little hole, came last. Yasmin, second last. But the top three were Ben, Ovashi, and Joe came top. Good on Joe.
Well done, Joe.
Can't remember what Joe looks like. the showstopper.
Can't remember what Joe looks like. Joe's got the Essex. She's got Essex. She always smiles.
Can you do the rest of the episode in this Essex accent?
The Essex accent. She's really, because Joe's got a really cute voice. She sounds like she's talking to a child the whole time.
41-year-old grandmother.
41-year-old grandmother.
Because she is talking to children all the time.
And she smiles. They can feel with her, kind of like Alice did in our series, where if something's going bad, she feels like, I can't show people, so I'm just going to smile all the time. It's really obvious.
She's the one who got really emotional, actually. She was the one who was like, this really matters to her.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember and I cried. Classic.
But then she won, so what was she getting emotional about?
Well, she didn't win.
Well, she won the technical.
She did win the technical. Are you familiar with doing that? Just the once.
Twice.
Just the once. Twice? When was the second time?
I won it in the final as well.
As well as when?
When I did the Moroccan pie that Henry should have run around the tent naked.
Oh, so the
never going to forget that.
So basically, every time everyone else did really badly, that was the time that you managed to win.
And then I came second in all the rest, apart from the one I came desperately last, even below you. And you had a panic attack.
Two, and left the tent early, and I still came above you.
I mean, to be honest with that one, at least you kept on trying. I gave up after about 10 minutes. I just knew that was a disaster.
Honestly, when we get to our series, the whole thing's going to have to be a Patreon exclusive because we're going to get sued so badly.
We are. I'm surprised we haven't already.
Well, they tried. Showstopper was 24 rolls in a basket, and they also had to create the basket out of a bread dough. And the rolls had to be two varieties, sweet or savoury, in 5 hours. It sounds more complicated than it is, but it's a bread basket full of 24 rolls.
Do you know what? It's not. I was livid. This is the first time.
I like this one.
This series, I have liked it. Have you ever done salt dough before, Michael?
Yes, when I was a child.
Yeah, as a child. That's not bread dough. It is not fair. Like, they were going on about saying, like, oh, imagine this with all these big holes. Salt dough literally sets to rock hard. You can make anything out of salt dough. And they're comparing people making a salt dough basket with people trying to make it out of bread. I don't think
that's
very fair.
You're comparing dumb people against smart people.
I know, because the thing is, it was one of those things like, why did you pick bread if you got the option to do salt dough?
But
salt dough's not edible. It's not baking.
But I made... do you think you can make bread without yeast?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because you make a flatbread and things.
Because I made baking powder charcoal rolls in our bread week.
Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, soda bread has not got yeast in it.
Oh, I love soda bread.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's salt dough. It's not like a... And not very. It's not baking. It's not something you eat. Like, no one could eat it. It's never going to
be. Well, I'm going to say that I would have absolutely made a salt dough bread basket.
Oh, I would have done if I got given the option because it was so much easier.
I thought it was a good challenge, though, and it was fun. And it was like, I quite liked that they were playing on bread basket. I thought that was fun. Who stood out to you here? I mean, we didn't find out what Half the Bakers actually made, but who did you like the most?
I mean, this is probably because I think everyone liked this one the most, but Yasmin's.
Yeah.
I think when they even the thing about that one is when they even said at the start before we knew she'd done well, I was like, "What, coconut bread? Yes, please."
With pesto,
and then the pesto bread. Yeah. That one sounded really, really
and
good.
And her salt dough basket with the leaf cutouts looked absolutely gorgeous. Paul was worried about her holes in the basket, but otherwise it went quite well. I think
he thought they were too big. He quite likes big holes, as we found out in the technical. But these
as
he thought
we
were
found
too
out
big
in last week's story.
Yeah. How about you? Who did you like?
I like the sound of her vashis, which were chili and halloumi rolls, and also lemon and coriander bagatini, which sounds like fun.
Yeah, is bagatini, is that a thing, or did she make it up?
Is it like a small baguette?
Yeah, but then that sounds Italian, doesn't it? Bagatini.
Bagatini. Yeah, it works. I mean, if you say it in an Italian accent, it sounds all right. Should we message Giuseppe? After asking about his tight hole, we can ask about whether bagatini is an actual thing.
Yeah. My favourite, actually, sorry, Yasmin, my favourite was actually Bob's. I mean, Rob.
Rob.
Michael just called him Bob a second ago.
No, we cut that out, actually, so no one would have known.
No one would have known that Michael called him Bob. His lover was called Bob. Anyway, Bob did blueberry brioche.
That was why I said Bob, because he made blueberry brioche buns.
And then lemon and poppy seed, because I like lemon poppy seed cake. I was really interested to think that was bread, actually.
I can imagine that working quite well in a bread, if it was like quite like a brioche-y dough, like a soft, pillowy dough.
Rob steals the show every single week without even, he doesn't even try. Mm. This week, he decided to make bread dough and then knead his salt in. He was like, oh, I forgot my salt. Oh no, I always do this anyway. And then kneaded his salt in. And Paul just would not accept it, to the point where he actually made Mel try some of the dough. And Mel didn't realize she wasn't going to swallow it. So then he told her off for swallowing the dough. And like, Mel's face, she was like, what am I doing here? But that was my favourite moment.
They always come to Rob at like the worst possible moment. Last week he was running away from them to get ingredients. And this, it was just, they always come to him at like the worst point. I used to like refuse visits at that point because I'm too busy at this moment. I'm doing too many things. I have to like, give them my concentration.
Rob's too accommodating.
Well, hopefully. Mary Ann was making herb and walnut flower pot breads. So she was baking the bread in mini flower pots?
Yeah.
For the heat of the flower pot, is that right?
Yeah, but it's not the heat of the flower pot. The problem with doing it in flower pots, because I've done it in ceramic things as well, and you don't get a browned edge. If you saw them when she actually took them out, they were quite anemic looking. So it's actually better to use a tin.
Why is that though? Because surely the pot would have got hot and therefore like made a crispier crust.
But I think also it like absorbs moisture too quickly.
Ah, so you don't get the caramelization from the IB earlier.
Caramelization.
Sadly, this whole challenge wasn't an IB.
No, although I did like the fact that the phrase Planet Janet came out.
Planet Janet did come out.
So I do love Planet Janet now.
And I skipped the BB because it was about the ships and biscuits. And I was like, well, biscuits aren't bread. So I just moved on.
I've even got Keith on my list. And I've just written, why is he still here?
He isn't.
He's just not. Yeah, he stayed on my list. Every single week. I removed the person each week, but for some reason, Keith stayed.
I normally alphabetize, but I haven't this year. And it's been very hard. The star baker then was Yasmin.
Well deserved.
Her pesto bread and coconut rolls. And leaving was like a rogue double elimination. From nowhere.
I mean, to be fair, when they were doing the discussions, it did sound like it was quite hard to pick. Mm. And then randomly, Mel or Sue just suddenly said, oh, do you think two should go home? And I was like, well, they're not going to do that, are they?
Yeah. It's so much better throwing in a double elimination, not having threatened it.
Yeah.
Because you're genuinely like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And it was, sadly, Ian, lovely posh Ian, with one less finger after this week, and Urvashi went.
Which I found harsh, because for Ian, I did feel that he'd poorly performed in all three challenges.
I didn't even write down what he did in the showstopper.
It looked really pretty, but everything, he hadn't let anything prove properly. Everything was really close and tight.
Sure.
He was very, very tight.
Famously for Ian.
He already had his tight. I mean, what is he going to do? He's got tight holes. But Urvashi, I thought that was a bit harsh, especially because not that I want to see Rob go, but Rob really struggled and his basket had fallen to pieces.
Back off.
Teflon Rob's going through again.
No, because he always tastes nice. Well, that double elimination was a bit rogue, wasn't it?
Quite unnecessary, really. Still, it's been a really good series so far.
Yes, indeed. Now, shall we move on to this week's taste test?
Yes, this one comes from Chelsea, who has specified that she's from Birmingham and she wants it in a Brummie accent.
There's a reason I'm making you read this one out.
Yes, I've just noticed that. Okay, Brummie, here we go. Who's Brummie on Bake Off? Can I
Alison it? Hammond.
Oh, Alison Hammond. My taste test, this submission is sour cream sandwiches. I absolutely love them. People I work with think it's vile, but I'm not sorry. They're bloody scrubby.
That was alarmingly good.
Yes. I mean, you were biting your hand when you said that, though.
I couldn't believe it was happening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hello, it's us, interrupting the ads to advertise ourselves.
Not like that, I'm taken.
I'm not, so I'm not advertising myself in that way.
We digress. We're here to talk about our Patreon.
Or our OnlyFans, as we like to call it. Each week, we upload bonus content such as ad-free and extra episodes, exclusive Q&As, behind-the-scenes content, and more.
And all of that could be yours for the small price of a coffee each month. Or we also have an annual membership available for a cheeky discount.
And you get the added bonus of knowing you're helping us to keep the podcast in your ears each and every week.
To join us, all you need to do is visit patreon.com/stickybumboys.
We'll see you there.
Right, I need to work out what this taste test is. Oh, it was the salad cream sandwiches. I wasn't actually, because I was concentrating so hard on my Brummy accent.
It was quite an impressive Brummy accent.
Thank you. As people know, we are not very good accents, but anyone from America who's listening, that's exactly what someone sounds like from Birmingham.
And that's what you're going to hear for the next couple of years while Alison hosts the Bake Off.
Yeah, she's proper Brummy. What do you think salad cream sandwiches?
Not on its own.
I don't like salad cream.
Do you not?
No.
I don't actually know what it is.
To me, it's like mayonnaise. It's got vinegar in it or something.
It's like mayonnaise that's been like sat out for a bit too long.
Yeah, and see, milk, yes. Salad cream, no.
God, not back to that. Do you know what? I'm going to say, you don't need to be saved, but maybe like house arrest.
Yeah, house arrest. Because I'm picturing it as well on some pappy white bread. Oh, it's just like, no.
Although I do quite like, so I used to, when I was younger, I used to raid the white bread in the bread bin, and I would like take off the crust and I'd eat them, and then I would take like the center of it and I'd squeeze it into like a little ball, and then I would like nibble on the ball.
That genuinely, I'm not even moving it, that's made me feel a little bit sick.
Really?
That's horrible.
Like I'd squeeze it right into like a tiny ball.
Because the whole
ball.
Point of that horrible bread is that it squishes so horribly into like chewy.
It was like gummy.
Oh. No.
Lovely for a little nibble.
Ooh. No, thank you. So we found out that, what's her name? Brummy. No, that's not her
Chelsea.
Name. Chelsea's in house arrest and Michael is definitely in jail.
Well, I think you should be in jail because I received one of the worst voice notes I think I've ever received. We voice note quite a lot during the week. And David sent me a voice note as he was traveling to work. And they were getting more and more frantic as David needed a poo more and more. To the point that he said that he was clenching. And what was the word that you used?
I was sweating. I was clammy.
No, but you were talking about like it was like it was coming.
Oh, I was getting contractions.
David was getting anal contractions. So basically, on the overground.
Well, no, I got off the train. The problem is, I got off the train, but it was still quite a walk from Charing Cross up to where my clinic was, and I got about halfway, and I was like, you know, sometimes when you're getting really close home, and you start getting the pain, and you think, thank goodness I'm going to be in soon, and you're like, run into your house. You don't even close your door. You just like run through the keys are still in the door. It was like that level, but I was still ages before I got to work. It was horrible.
And then David got to work and what happened?
Well, Michael didn't know this at this stage, but it turned out that it was a bank holiday Monday, a public holiday. And so my clinic wasn't opening for another hour. So I was stuck out in the street, absolutely desperate. So then I tried to sit on this bench. I eased myself onto this bench, onto this seat, and just tried clenching for a few minutes to see if that would like push it back in. And it didn't work. And so then I was like, I was actually sweating at this point. Michael got all of this. And I didn't know what to do.
These were like live, frantic, like voice notes as he was like looking around him trying to find a solution.
Because the first one was me just talking to Michael about that. I was like, okay, Michael, I'm just talking about the podcast. Duh, 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 duh. By the way, I need a toilet. I need a poo. Can't wait to get to work. And then they just kept on getting worse. So then at this point, I was sitting on this bench, looked around, and there's this little, I don't want to talk about this. There's this little alleyway that's on the other side of the street from my clinic. So I walked down this little alleyway, and it was the back of a lot of the shops and some people's flats. And I just walked a bit further down, literally pulled my trousers down, and just shat on the floor.
But the way you described it to me was that it... came out like you were squirting it out of a piping bag.
Yes, it, piping it like buttercream. It was, because I just did it really quickly. Because I was obviously not wanting to be there exposed for too long, so I just literally pulled my pants down and just squirted
it
as hard as I
could. It shows some quite excellent anal control.
I wish I'd taken a picture, because the funny thing
no!
is, when I walked back, I looked back and I was like, I literally just done it in the middle of the street. I haven't even gone to the side. I just thought I'd do this really quickly, and I was desperate. So, unfortunately, the story doesn't stop here. No,
you pulled your trousers up, you went back onto that bench where you lowered yourself down again, and you sent me a voice note explaining what you'd done, but that, sadly, wasn't the end of the story.
No, because I thought that would give some relief. I thought, I've already needed some relief.
You didn't empty, you no. just got rid of the top third.
When I say it, I really did, like, drop my pants, dropped into a squat, 2 seconds, just let out some, stood straight back up again, and walked
out.
Off. And then, so I sat back on this bench, and that's when I got the message saying... the clinic's not going to be open for another hour. So then I tried hobbling up the street to see if there was a Pret anywhere.
Considering you haven't wiped your bum at this stage either.
No, and it was very sticky. And there wasn't a Pret. Well, there was one, but it's not open yet because it's bank holiday. There was nothing open. So then Michael got the next message of me. So the first time I was distressed, I just didn't care. Then there was this realization where I was like, okay, I'm dirty. I have to go back to the alley. So I went back into the alleyway. This time I walked right to the end of the alleyway and did the rest of it.
And that's a little insight into the messages I get from David in a week, on a week-to-week basis.
And then I got into the clinic when it finally opened and went straight to the toilet and had to be commando for the rest of the day.
Do you know what? I don't think I've ever shat in a public place.
Really?
Like outside, outdoors.
I mean, marathon training, I did it a lot.
You did do it a lot.
Yeah. Also, I've done
and
it.
Also, what was really nice of David was he sent me a picture of each location.
Yeah.
So I knew what to avoid when I walk around London on a day-to-day basis.
Actually, the one time I went to the same place twice.
You
and
did?
I actually had to step over my poo from the week before. I was really worried because there was lots of leaves and I thought I wasn't going to see it.
You're just alarmingly irregular.
Well, yeah, because another time, this hasn't been all the time, I was in Peckham Rye, and this again was a public holiday, and loads of people were at Peckham Rye. And I was sat with Nick, and I was like, Nick, I actually have to go for a poo. So we went into this bushy bit.
But we?
Well, no, Nick found it. I had to send Nick off to find me a place because I couldn't walk anymore. I was sitting on this bench, I couldn't move, so Nick had to go find me a place. He was like, if you go through there, send me to this place. It was autumn, there was no leaves. So I was in this like spindly bush and loads of people literally walking past like 2 meters away from me. And I'd only just won makeup at this point. So I was like, this is going to be a disaster if people find me. But no one did.
He really got you there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, shall we move on to the inbox then, David?
If anyone can beat me with any poo stories, send them in.
I mean,
the poos, though.
We've already hit the bottom last week. They can't get any worse.
Right. This, this one is from Anonymous. Are you ready?
You wish you were at this point.
I know last week you asked for your inbox to be filled again. I'm avoiding using the word bulge.
I remember that. Was that last week?
I don't know.
2 weeks ago, I think.
Bulgy. Or maybe they sent it in just...
Do you like the word bulge?
I don't mind it, actually. I just, when you were saying it, you were just saying it too much.
Bulge. It kind of loses meaning after a while. Bulge.
Yeah, it stops being bulgy.
It feels quite like pirates might use it, that word.
As you're saying it to me, I'm feeling a bulge in my hand. But as the
you're,
more you say
you're holding a phantom bulge in your
hand.
Yeah,
but then it gets, as you say it more and more, it gets smaller and smaller for some reason.
Bulge.
It's just like bulge now.
Oh, a tiny little phantom bulge.
Anyway, I'm avoiding using the word bulge, naturally, to avoid a repeat incident of the fanfiction you were sent, but I've simply got to draw your attention to the fact that there's a whole world of Bake Off fanfiction out there,
oh, God.
And some of it features you both.
Oh,
it might be a bit rude to share on the pod, but I thought I'd be doing you a disservice if I didn't share it with you here. Oh, wow.
Okay, we're going to take a quick second to read it, and then we're going to come back to you. 2 seconds. We've read it. We can't share this.
No. If you thought that my poo stories were a bit explicit, that is nothing.
I mean, can we... Maybe we'll read it on Patreon.
We can do, anyone that hasn't joined OnlyFlans yet, by the way, we really should be sued. We're putting this on OnlyFlans. We put worse on.
We'll put this on OnlyFlans, but I'm afraid it's too much. Let's do the next person.
Okay. So I know you've said you don't want any more this is another fan fiction one.
Oh, God.
I know you don't want any more fan fiction, but I actually found this about Paul and Mary the other day.
Oh, no.
Sorry, this is from Nikki. I got too excited. This is from Nikki. I found one about Paul and Mary the other day, and I couldn't help but pass it on.
Oh, God.
I think we need to do another content warning here.
Okay.
This podcast may include content that is disturbing for some listeners. Read all listeners.
Read all listeners.
Listener discretion advised.
Okay, everyone settle in.
Shall I get the title? The title's called Meringue.
Okay, that's not too bad. Something about a stiff peak.
Let's go. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Great British Bake Off. In this episode, Mary and Paul will show you how to make the perfect meringue every time. To make a meringue, you need some eggs, Mary remarked. Lucky for me, Paul...
oh no.
I'm not going to do this. You didn't do it laughing. Paul is hiding two in his briefs, she purred suggestively, taking time to slowly and sensitively moisten her pursed lips afterwards.
Jokes on her because they weigh a stone each.
It's true.
Massive ostrich eggs.
Ostrich eggs in his briefs. Paul.
Also briefs. Do you think he wears briefs? I think he's definitely like one of those like shapeless boxer man.
Boxer briefs. Oh, shapeless boxers. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. He wouldn't be wearing Andrew Christiansen, will he?
Christian. It's Andrew Christian.
Christian.
Andrew. We've all Christian. Seen that picture.
Paul immediately followed Mary's cue by unzipping his bulging jeans, revealing the plump orbs that lay beneath them, along with his already excited member.
What? Orbs. Wow. Member is an unfortunate word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gross. What's wrong with everyone?
Mary gazed lustfully. Oh, I can't. This is... Mary! Stop it!
She's lived a life.
Mary gazed lustfully as Paul paraded his produce in front of the TV camera while reaching down for a quick tickle. So these glorious eggs need cracking, Mary growled energetically as she gave a cheeky wink down the lens. She took Paul's sizable eggs in one hand and tugged them up onto the worktop. Grabbing one of them...
Can I do a sound effect?
Grabbing one of them, she threw it forcefully against the sharp corner of the icy granite surface, skillfully separating the creamy, sticky white stuff from the yolk.
This is a
little bit weird. It started weird, and now it's gone, yeah. As a result, a raw groan erupted from Paul's wide, gaping mouth.
Oh, that's horrible.
His face tinged scarlet as the unbearable pain he felt mixed with the intense pleasure it caused.
He's just broken his testicle open on the counter.
There's no pleasure involved in that.
Call an ambulance.
There is a paramedic usually in the tent.
Oh, he's called Danny. He's lovely.
Danny's probably watching. Before Paul could recover, Mary swiftly cracked the other egg in the same way, intensifying the feelings of ecstasy and agony inside him. After Paul finished roaring, Mary chuckled as she whispered into the camera, cracking.
Oh, this isn't... I mean, this is horror.
Mary continued at her rapid pace with no concern for Paul. She only cared for one thing, the meringue she was whipping up. Next up, I'll sweeten the mixture. Many like to use sugar, but for the perfect meringue, I recommend using honey instead, she announced. Mary Lynn lifted one finger in the air to beckon Mel and Sue into the bake-off tent.
Oh no, not Mel and Sue.
The presenters entered the frame promptly, already glistening and ready to help.
Glistening?
Come on. Mary lowered the mixing bowl teasingly, allowing the lady's love honey to drip into Paul's extracted white liquid.
Not the love honey.
Love honey? Didn't we have passion juices in one of the
other
episodes?
I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. What is wrong with everyone? Not to yuck your yum, but this isn't... This is still, it can't be many people's yum.
This is very, very strange. I wonder how many clicks they've had. Whew. After Mel and Sue had left the tent, all they did was that. Mary guided the process once again. Now it's time to beat the liquids together until they form stiff peaks, she chuckled sadistically, making sure to emphasise the last two words of the instruction.
Quite the dominatrix, isn't she?
Well, yeah, because grabbing Paul's firm tool, she followed her recipe. Little Paul,
whisked
and whipped until the peaks were as stiff as the rod itself. Mary then reached for the piping bag, spooning the mixture in and squeezing it out of the narrow tip to form peaky buds on the baking tray. Finally, the meringue is ready to be cooked, Mary decreed, as she slipped the blowtorch from her drawers her drawers.
She probably does wear drawers, actually. Igniting the flame, she proceeded to tease the tips with her burning desire until the meringue shells were hard like Paul's shaft.
Oh, no. This person really does not want to get a publishing deal.
Now comes the best bit. Well, let's hope. The tasting. Like they say, the proof is in the pudding. Mary quipped as she reached out for little Paul.
Can we stop saying little Paul, please?
I like my meringues with fresh cream, she added, grasping the length and consequently causing Paul to pour out a thick covering of salty cream over the bake. As Paul recovered from his high, Mary tucked into her perfect dessert, stiff and rigid, just how it should be.
Well,
I mean, it says here, you've reached the end of the published parts. I'm not sure that was really published.
There's only one comment, and the comment is, great.
Great! By Baker Britain.
And the little flag next to their name says the word writer.
Yes, I've just hearted it.
So the writer has replied saying, great. Well, look, I was a bit confused by that, because it felt like it started off as erotica, and then it kind of moved into horror. And, like, the disembowelment of a national treasure.
Oh, no. Also, there's actually a picture of the top with Paul at a place at a table with his weird little grin, which is a bit gross and disturbing.
Oh, dear. What's this podcast become?
They call it a short story. Hashtag Great British Bake Off. Hashtag Mary Berry. Imagine if you just typed in the hashtag Mary Berry or meringue, and that's what you get.
Well, what has this podcast become? Okay, once we've done that OnlyFans special for that extra one, I'm calling time on the fan fiction.
Oh, why? I'm enjoying it.
We're going to get reputations. How am I ever going to get a boyfriend?
Well, maybe your future boyfriend is one of the authors.
I'm going to draw a hard line there. Massive ick.
Massive dick.
These fan fictions are rubbing off on you.
Rubbing off?
Enough! Let's get this over and done with. Please review us, send in stories and questions to stickybunboys@gmail.com and follow us on socials at stickybunboys. There, we can go now, right, producer Alex?
Such a fun sponge. Bye-bye. Ready for the boring bit? Let's go.
The Sticky Bun Boys are not endorsed by or affiliated with Love Productions, The Great British Bake Off, or any of its subsidiaries. All views and opinions are our own.
The Great British Bake Off and all related content are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Very professional, David.
In one breath.
We're all just having a bit of fun, aren't we?
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.